Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 536. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Welcome to the official podcast of Anthem 2.0. Woo!
I regret to inform you that Anthem 2.0 has been canceled during the new segment. we are now partnering with Sony Japan for a brand new exclusive title. Hopefully that goes swimmingly. So,
well, Earl is back and he's already killing our dreams.
Hey, there was Sony Japan technically isn't dead. It's just, you know, like the grave's been dug up and funeral's been held, but it's not dead yet. Anything can happen.
Yeah,
it's not dead. It just went out to the farm where it can play with other Sony Japans.
Along with Anthem.
Okay, I have more faith in Sony Japan returning than I do of Anthem.
Anthem is dead. Rest in peace, Anthem.
Anthem's been dead since like it came out.
Since that first week when it sucked. And
I was about to say, from that beta where people couldn't actually play the game for a weekend.
Yeah, that might actually be it. Like people played it or couldn't play it, and what they did play they didn't like, and it was like, I'm not sure about this thing, and then it launched, I'm like, yep, we're not sure about this thing. Then it was, nobody talked about Anthem anymore.
I completely forgot that they were doing this whole, we're gonna try to retool Anthem as something, because it was announced in the end of 2019, so they spent all of 2020
trying working to on something that never worked. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I hadn't forgotten about it, but the fact that they were so quiet about it for so long did not bode well at any point. Plus, like, it's the same company that made the same mistakes working on it. Like,
yeah.
Without, like, some sort of new vision or new, like, assistance, like, how could we expect a different result? And I don't know. I think the biggest concern I had always had about Anthem was it was so different from anything else BioWare had made.
Yeah.
Like, so different. They had never done a real shooter before. I don't know. It was just a mistake from the beginning to the end. And I don't know. Just because something's a good idea doesn't mean like you need to like keep throwing money at it until it becomes a good game. That just seems silly.
Yeah. Take your people, move them on to stuff that might work.
Right. I mean, I have spent money on games before that I hated and regret, and I will do it again.
Yeah. I mean, to my credit, I only spent $10, so I'm not, you know, no, it's and even then, I think $10 is probably still too much of an ask, because I don't even know if I got 10 hours out of it. I paid it like twice, and like, this game shooting sucks. And I could deal with crappy loot system. I could deal with like the repeated missions, but the fact that the fundamentals, that the gameplay, the shooting was just dreadful. There was no real feedback to anything you were doing on the screen or with the controller. I'm just like, what is the purpose of this?
Yeah. So Anthem's dead. Sony Japan also kind of dead. I guess they're restructuring.
Basically, it sounds like they are going to continue to support Astrobot. Anything else is like IP management and localization.
Were they the team that made Astrobot? That's a shame, because that's a fun little game.
And I would also probably say that Sony, because like I believe the Gran Turismo team is separate from Sony Japan.
Yeah, they're Polyphony Digital.
Yeah, like it's not like Sony Japan will stop making games. It's just that, like, you know, I think they've done Ape Escape, they did Ico, stuff like that. Where you probably won't get those types of games. And I think it kind of goes to a story that I think has been building in the background on a lot of mainstream sites, but been building it for the past several months about Sony put in Japan as kind of the back burner market for their investments going forward. And I think a lot of people wanted that not to be true, because, you know, it is still their home market. but it's harder and harder to justify that it isn't what they're doing now.
Yeah, and when you hear the reports that the PlayStation 5 is doing worse than the PlayStation 4, which did worse than the PlayStation 3, like it where everywhere else in the world those consoles are outselling the previous one.
Like, yeah,
that gaming is on the decline there. It's a shame.
And I know, like you said, the PlayStation 5 is selling better than the PlayStation 4. Roughly around. They're running relatively even, and I think a lot of people are like, you know, they're still doing well, they still get a ton of third-party support. I think ultimately where it's going to start hurting them long term is when, you know, a lot of those like smaller Japanese titles that they used to get on their system, and that really has helped define their console space for several decades now. Like, you'll still get, you know, Sega and stuff like that, but like the smaller ones from like Falcom and those companies that relied on a healthy Sony ecosystem in Japan, I'm curious to see what's happening with that. Because, I mean, you even look at it, I mean, we'll get to state of play, I guess, in a bit, but you get the state of the Sony for the first half of this year. And really, I think the big Japanese exclusive for this year is a re-release of Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah. At least for that first half, yeah. It's the PlayStation 5 version of last year's Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah.
So. And I guess there's some DLC with some characters that weren't in the base game. So.
Awesome. Great.
Yeah.
Good.
Let's see. I'm trying to see if I can find what was in the state of play. I totally kind of blanked. I fell down a little work hole while it was happening, and then opened up Twitter and found out everybody was like, "Oh, that wasn't good."
Well, I think the big announcements, the open and close of it, was a port of Crash It's About Time for PlayStation 5, and then the Final Fantasy 7 Remake Integrate? Is that what it's called?
I think so, yes.
Which is a title, but yeah, I mean, when those were kind of your big opening and close, it's hard to get excited. I thought it was a decent showcase as far as like I wasn't around last week, so I apologize. I don't know what you folks talked about with the Nintendo Direct. But in terms of like laying out their plans for the first half of the year, I thought it did a decent enough job of kind of giving solid release dates, some new titles and stuff like that. I think my issue is, again, with State of Play, it's like it's like half an hour, and then they spend like, I don't know, 5 minutes on each game, and I don't think every game needs that much time to go over.
Yeah, like, did they need 5 minutes on Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yeah. Or again, like, did you need 5 minutes to kind of go over the fact that you're doing a Crash port that just of a game that just came out in, what, October, November? And it's like, you get 4K now and some other stuff. And it's like, okay. But you also announced it last week. And then I think Knockout City was, I think that was also at the Direct last week. That new multiplayer game where you throw balls at each other. It's essentially kind of like a
dodgeball.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks fun.
It looks fun, but we just kind of had a spotlight on that game last week. And that's not on Sony. It's just one of those things where sometimes it's like these companies get away with, like, oh, we're just going to have two companies at our games and hope for the best.
Yeah. Let's see. So I guess we'll just keep going with the state of play here. Crash Bandicoot, they showed some more Returnal. Which people seemed a little bit more interested in that this time around. A new Kung Fu game, Sifu.
That actually looks really interesting. I'm curious to see how the full title does, but the actual like gameplay seems fun.
Knockout City, as you just said, that looks fun.
I did enjoy the Deathloop trailer.
Deathloop, yeah, that's the soon to be Microsoft owned Sony exclusive, timed exclusive, I guess.
Oh my god.
Oddworld Soulstorm.
Coming soon. I wasn't expecting that to come early April, so I don't have much interest in it, but
Kena Bridge of Spirits looks really interesting.
Yep.
And I think the last game was Solar Ash.
Solar Ash, yes. Oh, and the Five Nights at Freddy's security breach, whatever that is.
I still don't really know what Five Nights at Freddy is. Like, I know it's a horror game that's big on PC. It's about like a bunch of messed up toys. But at this point, I just kind of assume I should know what it is, because this is what like the sixth or seventh entry in the franchise.
Yeah, like my understanding of at least what the other games were, like it was a survival game where you were like locked in a haunted Chuck E. Cheese, like where the animatronics came to life and would kill you.
Okay.
This one looks way different than that, so I don't know what this game is. It's very bright, colorful. Like, we'll see.
There's seven games. Okay.
Oh, wow. I thought there were four. I guess I've never played one, so I'm not. No.
I remember when the fifth one was coming out. And I also, because there's that Nicolas Cage just did a movie that's not Five Nights at Freddy, but very similar.
Yes.
So there's that. And yeah, like I said, I think it's a decent enough showcase. I just think sometimes they spend too much time on one game where I'm like, yeah, you could have cut this and not cut the game, but like cut it in half. We just need a trailer. We don't need a segment going over every detail of Oddworld.
Right. We'll see. Kena is the one I'm most interested in right now out of this. So, I think it's coming pretty soon, which that'll be nice. Get a new game on the PS5, but. No Silent Hill, not that I was expecting it, but I guess there were some people expecting that. No Horizon, which people were expecting. No Ratchet.
Yeah. Well, I think those last two would be, considering they're announced for this year.
Yeah.
Well, I was curious, because I feel like State of Play hasn't been that event. Like, I feel like it's never been that event.
To go over games that have already been announced. But, I mean, they've showed Kena before, and
well, I meant more in the sense, yeah. Like I said, it feels like they have their one or two big titles, because I think Crash 4 has been highlighted at State of Play several times now. It was one of the big reveals at the last State of Play, and before it came out. But yeah, I don't think that's like I don't remember Horizon being there. Like, Horizon seems like a showcase event, like a press event, or you know, like, I guess the thing with this was, it's the first time we've heard from Sony this year, and you would think, I guess you would want to know, like, what are your plans for the year? Because, yeah, like, the PlayStation 5 was announced in February of whatever year. No, that, we won't go into that. But, yeah, I just did not expect that stuff. I don't expect it from State of Play. And we've had enough State of Play now, I think, where people... It's, you know, you kind of know what they are, and they aren't big. Like, this isn't Silent Hill grand reveal event.
Yeah. Which I did not think like something like that was going to get revealed. I did think they might show Ratchet, because that's only like what?
Yeah.
3 months out. So, hey, here's something more. We don't have actually a lot. We haven't seen a lot of Ratchet.
I feel like this, didn't they reshow it sometime recently?
They showed a little bit more when they announced the date. It was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
earlier in February.
See, like, I would have switched that out with Crash. Like, open with Ratchet. Because again, Crash is out in if you have a PlayStation 4, you already have Crash, and it's also out in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. So, like, hey, here's this thing that you're looking forward to. It's really our next big game. And Ratchet looks great. So, but anyway, that's State of Play. What else was there news wise? That was all I had written down for news.
Well, I mean, it's not news until tomorrow, I guess. It's the Pokemon Direct event that is happening on Friday. The Mortal Kombat, was Mortal Kombat trailer last week or this week?
Last week, but did you get a chance to watch it?
I have. And the movie actually looks pretty interesting. I don't necessarily know what that means because I'm still hoping that it's utter gash. But I guess if it turns out to be a good movie, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we talked about it last week, the three of us were just like, "Yo, as long as it's fun, like stupid fun, that'll be a good time."
Yeah. I guess somewhat more my news than anything is Rippy and a Xenomorph are coming to Fortnite this week.
Yes, so. I don't like Ripley's look.
No,
I don't know. Like the face seemed a little off, but I guess like it's hard to do detail with Fortnite's characters.
And I think it's one of the few because it's one of the rare ones where it's based off of an actual human person, right, and not like somebody in a mask or like, you know, with the Marvel and DC stuff. There's so many versions of that you can kind of mix it up. Where this is based off of Sigourney Weaver, and they probably were like, we could get her, but we can't get her if you know what we mean.
The Xenomorph though looks good. It's gonna be ridiculous looking in the game, but I think that's kind of amusing.
Yeah, I do like that they've bundled them up the same way they did with Sarah Connor and the T-800. It's nifty to kind of get these. I think we've mentioned this in the past. I have friends who they think it's a great way to introduce their kids to franchises from the 80s. And granted, again, when you think about it in hindsight, Alien, Terminator aren't necessarily what we would consider kids franchises, but I guess as a parent, you get to make those decisions now. So,
yeah, I mean, yes, like Terminator and Aliens are both R-rated films, but compared to like some R-rated films today,
yeah,
they're, I mean, yes, there's a little bit of language, but they're pretty tame by comparison. Like Terminator 2 and Aliens are just like they're just top tier action movies. There's not a lot of gore in either of them.
No. I mean, I think if anything, it's more of just like their pure going for horror vibe that I think I would question more than their violence or language.
Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of funny. Like this Fortnite has just become a giant toy box. Like,
yeah.
These are just like action figures that you can play with, but they're digital.
I think I've said it. I don't know if I said it on the show. I said it before to a friend. Fortnite is essentially what Ready Player One wanted to be. In the sense that it's just like, yeah, we'll take whatever IPs we get. We'll put them in this virtual world. And it is franchise agnostic in the sense that, like, I mean, granted, so far, I don't think they've done this with any character, but like, it's like you'll take somebody who's a shooter or you'll take somebody who's kind of more reserved and it's like, yeah, we'll just turn them all into like these shooting mascots who are by default, like, they're all pretty much the same character. It's not like they do anything unique, but right. you get them in this world. You get to fit an avatar of the Predator, or, you know, I forget his name, an actual Predator, Arnold's name, but you get Rippy, or you get Sarah Connor, you get the X-Men, well, you get Wolverine, you get, you know, the Avengers, you get Aquaman, you get the Flash, you get, there's a John Wick and Jane Wick costume from ages ago, Master Chief, Kratos, you get Daryl and Michonne from The Walking Dead, so...
Yeah, it, like, and this season has really gone just crazy. All the, like, the licensed crossovers.
Yeah.
It's fun stuff. All right. Well, let's see. We've been playing some stuff. Guess we'll jump into the one Earl questioned me on when. When I got onto the call tonight, it's like, what is this Viking talk?
Oh, Twitch God.
Channel?
How sick were you, Earl? My God. You missed out on all the Viking-ing-ing-ing.
Yeah, very so. I was telling Chris before this started, like, it is so weird to just turn around and February's over, and I just kind of missed an entire week of it. I mean, I missed more, but all of last week is just a complete and utter... If anything major happened last week... I'm out of the loop on it.
No, nothing major happened, except Tony and our friends Walt and Sean have gone hard into being Vikings.
Sort of. Ish. Kind of.
Yes. So Val, I've heard it said Valheim. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a... I guess Sean described it as Viking Minecraft.
Yes, I think Minecraft is the bit. Walter was calling it adult Minecraft, which I think is closer. Like, it's got a kind of Viking, like, Norse theme to it, but it's not really about being Vikings. Not, you're not getting on your longship and, like, going out and raiding villages. It's definitely a survival game where you're, like, in a world, like, with nothing and trying to build up like towns and, you know, get your axe to chop down the tree so that you can use the wood to make the hoe to, you know, build the farm. It's one of those games.
Yep.
Much more than a Viking. And I'm assuming you didn't like it, Chris. And it's quite unstructured. Like,
yeah,
it's like... you're in a world trying to figure out what to do. It doesn't tell you what to do in any respect.
No, and so, like, I haven't played it with you guys, and I should at some point, to, because, like, you could probably at least give me a little bit of structure, like, go do this,
yeah,
as opposed to me, like, wandering around and punching fish in the head. And then, my first experience was, like, I jump into the server that we have going. It's a private server. Nobody else can join it. And it just drops you in the world.
Yep.
And there's, like, some tutorial, like, oh, you know, like, you talk to this bird and it kind of gives you, like, an idea, but I have no idea what the hell he was talking about. And I was like, oh, well, like, there's this house over here. Oh, okay. Like, it's a house that you guys had built. All right. Well, there's not much in here. I don't want to take any of your stuff. So I'm going to go explore. And then I came across, like, this frog fish thing, and I punched it, and it died.
The neck.
Yes. Which I was evidently confusing Sean, because I kept calling the frog fish monster. He's like, where are you getting all this awesome fish from? And it's just, I'm just eating tails from this thing.
You eat the tail from the neck, which is a hilarious combo for me.
So, like, I punched this thing, and I ended up dying. I, like, ran out of stamina and drowned in the lake. And it just respawns you, but it respawns you without your stuff.
Yeah, it's like Demon Souls. You have to go back and get your stuff before you died.
So I had to, like, swim out to the middle of the lake, get my stuff. I'm like, all right, that seems dangerous. But now I got my stuff. I have, like, these tails. And to go back, it says I'm cold and wet. So I go back and I like figure out how to light the fire. That wasn't too hard. And then I try to like, it says like press E to cook items, and it just takes it right out of your inventory and starts cooking them. And I'm like wandering around, and somehow I stepped into the fire and lit myself on fire. And then I was trying to get the stuff off of the fire to lit myself on fire again. It's like, I don't know. I'm not sure I like this. So I like shut it down. And then tonight I went in, and Sean was able to teleport me to where you guys are actually at, like, because you've kind of abandoned that first area.
Yep, because we built a real place somewhere else.
It's like, and what you guys have built there is super impressive. Like, it's like, oh, like, you jump in and there's like beds and there's like stacks of like, you just have like a locker room like filled with like chests. And but then you step out and it's like, it's this house inside a fort, inside like another set of walled off gates, and like you have a garden going, and like super impressive. Like, oh, okay, this is pretty cool. I don't know how I'd build any of this, because still having trouble. Like, I don't even know how to open my inventory unless I'm at one of the boxes. So like, I stole an axe out of Tony's box.
That's fine. Like, it was a spare axe I built by mistake. It's good.
And then just like went, chopped down some trees, gathered some rocks, and killed some frogfish things, and then cooked them. And I left everybody a present in their chests.
I saw. I have a little trophy thing.
Yeah, I killed like a little goblin thing. So you got like a trophy of that, and Sean got a trophy of the frogfish thing, and Walt got some coal because I overcooked some meat.
Walt got overcooked coal.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's a game for me, but I could see it being really like. What it can do is super impressive.
Oh yeah, no, there's a lot of interesting things you can do in this game. I know Sean, for instance, has built a long ship and sailed around the world.
Yeah, like that's the shit I want to see.
And
I think I just kind of want to see it vicariously through Sean. Like, I can jump in and like see the cool stuff that he's built.
Yeah. But you don't want to do it portals. Yourself.
It's like, I don't know. Like, me, just leave me like a sword every once in a while so I could defend myself. And...
I don't even have a sword yet. Let me know when you find one. I got like a giant hammer. I will say, I like the skill building. It's really similar to like Skyrim.
That is cool. Yeah. Like, so like, I noticed that right away. Like, I was jumping. It's like, you are getting better agility or something. Yeah. Like, oh, so the more you do something, the better you'll get at it. That's kind of cool. Like,
yeah,
like,
so my character is super good at archery because nice. I just shoot arrows at things. And in the beginning, I could only hit something that was like standing right next to me. Like, literally, like, instead of melee, I was firing an arrow at point blank range. But now I'm like, I can shoot a deer from like 20 paces and like sneak up and kill it. Kind of, it gets fun after a while when you get from like level 1 to like level 30. So.
There's a lot going on, like behind the scenes. Like, there's lots of systems at play. And I've been watching some videos. Like, I guess you could chop down like really big trees, but
if they get the right axes.
Yeah, but they act. Yeah, because I tried to chop. It looked like somebody chopped down a big tree, and I tried to chop the log, and it was like,
and it told too hard. Too hard. Yep.
It was like, but I watched some videos where they chop down these really big trees, and like those logs will drop.
They are dangerous. They will you kill have to you. Look out. Yes.
Because, like, the ones I chopped down just disappeared. It's like
I chop the tree, then I back up. That sucker's going to fall right on you.
Which way is it going? So I move out of the way.
And that's the part that feels kind of random. Like, I can never tell which direction the tree is actually going to fall.
Well, I wanted to see how those physics worked, but the trees I was chopping down, when I chopped them down, they just disappeared. So I couldn't see if like is the physics correct? Like, does it show you when you're chopping the tree that it's like getting damage and like you?
No, it doesn't. Some things it shows that kind of stuff. The trees it does not.
Mm. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean it. It's also like a $20 early access game. Who knows, like a year from now, what that kind of stuff will show.
They could add a ton into it. Right now, I'm just like, there's so much going on, and it's so it's a little overwhelming when you jump into it, but I want to see what you guys continue to do with it. So I'll jump in every once in a while with my Viking lady and see how you guys are doing and leave you junk. That's all I'm good for right now.
Come on, you can do some cool stuff. You can help us tame pigs.
You can tame pigs.
We have a little pig farm. We also have bees. You know, you need bees.
Do they do, or is it just...
They make you honey, and then you can use the honey to make, like, food. Like, you can mix the stuff together.
Ah.
Yeah. It's super like Minecraft. Like, you get this and this, and you put it together and get that. It's just about finding the right items and putting them together in the right ways. It does tell you, like, if you pick up, like, a bone shard for the first time, it'll give you, like, all right, you just unlocked all these recipes. This is the stuff you can do with it right now.
Yeah, I do like that, as opposed to, like, just, like, go to the workbench and try and add stuff together to see if it...
Right.
It'll create... Like, this tells you, like, all right, you can now make pants, and you need, you know, X amount of leather, or you can make an axe. You need wood and X amount of stone, or flint, or whatever.
Yeah, like that... What was the Microsoft game that they did? Grounded?
Mm-hmm.
And that one was kind of like, that was like, oh yeah, you have this. What do I do with it? I don't know. You got to find a recipe now.
I mean, yeah, you don't want that. You want, like, guidance.
Yeah.
Especially with the amount of items that you can pick up.
There's a lot of stuff to pick up. There's a lot of stuff you can make. There's a lot going on. There really is.
Seems really cool. I think at points the game looks really good. The character models are ugly, but I think the rest of it actually looks really neat. Like, I mean, it's not, you're not talking like top tier visuals, but I think like there's a good art style. It's just the character models look a little blocky, but everything else has like a nice look to it. And I like that you guys were able to like etch in the name of like our forts and
like you go to your bed, like,
yeah,
your name is above your bed.
It's like, oh, this one's mine. and now it looks like when I jump in, like, I will spawn there, because it said like, this is your bed, and like, this will be where you spawn now, as opposed to like spawning me at the rock.
You don't want to spawn at the rock.
No. So yeah, did you say it was $20?
Yeah, the game's only $20, which...
It's not bad at all.
That was a solid... Like, if it had been, like, 40 or 60, I don't know that I'd have played it. But 20 is, like, an impulse buy of any kind of game for me. So, I don't know. It looked kind of interesting. I didn't know whether I would be into it. Sometimes I get into these games. Most of the time, I don't. I just happen to get into this one.
Yeah. It's a cool game, especially if you like those types of... like survival, collectathon, build type games. Looks like there's a lot of cool stuff you can do here. Did you play anything else this week, Tony?
That was the only game I played, but I played a lot of it.
Earl, you have been sick. Did you get to play anything while you were resting?
Not really. I assume you folks spoke about this last week. I did get to play some of Bowser's Fury before the sickness took me. And I think that's a ton of fun. I think it's a very interesting and novel approach to Mario games in terms of... I think the way I described it when I started to play it, it's like somebody at Nintendo was really, really aiming to be like, see, Sunshine wasn't a bad idea. It was just the wrong time, because it's like you have, you know, much like Sunshine, it's thematically just a single, it's an island, it's not an island, but it's a giant water with a bunch of different islands on it that you go to, and each one has its own mini theme. And then within that, each one has like different challenges, and a lot of them are very similar to Sunshine. There will be ones where you just go around to collect blue coins or red coins or a race, you know, they compete a certain race. Or collect a certain number of there's Shadow Luigi that you fight, mm-hmm. and you know, stuff like that. And I think it's a ton of fun. I think it's a like, I know a lot of people saying this is like maybe the future of Mario. I don't necessarily know if I want this to be the future of like the 3D games, but I think if they were to do a game in this style, and again, if they fresh it out more like Sunshine, where you'd have more, because I think right now there's maybe 10 or no, there's more than 15 like main land masses that you can go to, but those land masses are nifty. They're also relatively short. You can probably get from the top to the bottom of most of them in about 5 to 10 minutes, if not shorter than that. And I like the Bowser stuff, but again, and I apologize, my voice gets hoarse when I talk too much. If you like the Bowser stuff, seems really novel at first, and then it's just kind of just like, okay, dude, I need you to hurry up so I can get you to destroy this one block on this island so I can get the shine, and you can go about your day afterwards. And like the boss, the boss encounters don't change too much with him either.
Okay,
so far it's like you have to get X number of cat shine. After each fight, like the cat shine resets, and you have to get X number of cat bells to activate it to do another part of the fight. And the fight is pretty much just like Bowser or new attacks, but you pretty much just kind of wait it out until his belly is exposed and you jump on it 3 times or whatever and you call it a day. But again, I think it's kick-ass music. I think the skill is kind of nifty. I think it's novel. And I think it does help that I think 3D World is a really top-notch 3D Mario game to have this in addition to it, and not necessarily, like, I couldn't see this as a standalone package. Or I don't even know, like, I know people are like, this is like, this should have been Odyssey DLC. And after saying it, I'm like, I don't necessarily agree with that. This is very much in the vein of 3D World, in the sense that it's one of the few, I think, 3D Mario games that uses power-ups in a, I don't want to say meaningful manner, because they all use power-ups, but it's the only one that's kind of consistent, and like power-ups remain stage to stage. So you're a designer on that, and the sense where, like, you know, Odyssey is designed around so much around Cappy, and as much as I hate Cappy, I don't see Cappy working in this type of gameplay style, because Cappy is so dependent on the enemies and things you can get in that specific sandbox design Nintendo creates. Where this one, it's like, you know, like one of the big things is you can have 5 of each power up. It's like, if I want to just run around in a cat suit most of the time, it's fine. But if I want to have like a boomerang, it also mixes and matches that. And you can use that to either, you know, do the game how it's intended or to find some cheap shortcuts. So
nice. I have not touched my copy of it yet. It is next on my list after I finish Immortals.
Yeah. So. I recommend it. I still want to try online, but my friend thought this was insane when, because I don't know what you, but I mean, I'm recovering from COVID, but I didn't know that at first. I just thought I had the flu. So when I first got it, I didn't want to play the game because, like, you're sick, and I don't want to have my first experience playing the game being that I'm sick.
Right.
And then I was getting better, so I'm like, I played it, I think, Saturday or Sunday morning, and that was the only time I played it. And then it, once I kind of got my ass kicked by COVID the week after, the second week, I realized that, because I've not been at work all week either, is that you would think, oh man, you got so much time, but you're just so drained that you can't, I can't even stare at screens. I haven't really watched movies or TV shows. It's basically been me napping and drinking water for the past week and a half. So
understandable.
I miss getting to play a bunch of games and watching movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, like you would hope that, like, if you were stuck at home and not working, that you would be able to at least do something fun, like you know, as a kid, like you get sick, like you maybe watch some TV and play a game here or there. But this sounds terrible. I'm very sorry. we're glad you're feeling better. I will be getting to 3D World at some point. Over the past weekend, I was getting ready to cancel my Stadia subscription that I forgot I had. and I went to go do that and noticed that Little Nightmares 2, which has just come out, came out the same day as 3D World, actually, or the same week. And I saw that, that was part of the Stadia subscription, so I decided to play that. And that's more Little Nightmares. So it's a neat puzzle platformer. Very well done. Creepy environments, creepy character models. I like the environments they have set up this time. It's like a forest, and then you get into the city area where you go through a school and a hospital. It seems to be like where Little Nightmares was centered around like greed and overconsumption. This seems to be around how screens like will rot your mind, which is funny as they're presenting this through a screen. But that's kind of like the horror theme here. All these characters are being entranced by televisions, and you end up having to kind of fight this television monster at the end. It's fun. I don't know if it's $30 fun, because that's evidently what it costs. But I enjoyed it for, you know, with the Stadia subscription. So, I'm continuing to play BioShock Remastered in preparation for this video game club I'm doing with Daxter and Javi next month, where we're going to talk about BioShock 2. I said this last week talking with Tony about it. BioShock has the gunplay in that game is terrible.
Was it ever good?
No, it was never good. It seems worse now. Like, I mean, that game's 14 years old now. It just seems worse. However, the more I played it, the more I'm forgiving of it, because like the atmosphere and the narrative behind it, not so much the base narrative, but the characters that you get introduced to, and each of the levels has like an interesting kind of boss person that you're interacting with. And I just did the Sander Cohen stuff, which is super creepy. That's, he has you go kill four splicers, like other people in the area around him, for his like artwork masterpiece that he's putting together. And like the whole narrative behind that is like excellently done. Super creepy. Music's great. This is remastered from what the original was, but it looks good. I'm getting back onto the line of this is still a good game. It is not as good as maybe I thought when it first released, but it's not as, I don't think I overrated it as much going back to it now as I thought last week.
Okay. But just as a quick aside, because I need to know the end of this story, did you end up canceling your Google Stadia account?
No, I'm going to do that though. I thought like, let's see. Cause like I can actually let it go until almost the middle of March.
Cause what I did was I canceled mine, when I think the end of January or something like that, because I think how it's built, you'll continue to have access to the service until your billing period was over. And I think because I got 3 months free as part of my deal. But yes, I wanted to make sure I was not, oh my gosh, could you imagine if I paid for Google Stadia?
Like, I mean, I don't think it's like, I think it actually works. It works real well. But yeah, it's like, I don't need this. But if you don't have a PC that can play games or a console that can play games, it's not a bad system to go with. Like, visually the games look good, but I don't need to spend, I don't know what it's like, $11 a month or whatever on it. I do want to see what the next set of free games are, And if there's something there I want to play, then I'll play it. But otherwise,
oh God.
I think I'm done.
Otherwise, you're going to keep it. Oh no.
Well, I think like because I think I would have re-upped for this month. Like if I hadn't, you know, if I had already canceled, I think I would have re-upped to play Little Nightmares 2, because $10 to play it on Stadia versus $30 that's a better deal. Especially for a game I'm probably not going to go back and play like multiple times this year. So if I could play it for $10, that's better. But we'll see. I don't like, they normally don't put brand new games on the system. So, or on the service, not a system. You play through your Chrome browser. But yeah, I should cancel that. And then I can get, what was it? Is it Peacock, Earl, where WWE Network is going to go to?
Yes. So.
And I can shift my monies to them.
Yeah, I gotta reconfigure my thought process. The Paramount Plus is also making a really good name for itself. When it drops next week. Oh God, next week is when it drops, huh? Yeah, I don't know what's gonna happen when we're out of quarantine and people get vaccinated. Because I don't think anybody's gonna subscribe to Paramount, HBO, Disney Plus, Netflix, Hulu, Peacock, and anything else that wants to launch in the next 6 months. But yeah, for now, everybody's doing their own original stuff, and I'm intrigued because I'm gonna call a spade. It has the WWE content, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, buying WrestleMania by itself is like a $70 proposition. So
yeah,
like getting the network or Peacock or whatever for, was it $10 a month, $5 a month? It's a much cheaper over the course of the year if you get any of those pay-per-views. But yeah, I don't think we need, like, Apple TV just gave me a free year subscription because we got my daughter an iPod for Christmas. So like, there's too many of these networks, these separate networks to keep track of, and I can't imagine having subscriptions to every single one.
Yeah, the good and bad thing though is like so many of them have exclusive content that you actually do want to watch, but it's like at some point you just gotta pick and choose. You're gonna miss out on something, and then, I mean, I think Netflix is still kind of king, but I find myself using it yes and yes because I find Disney Plus and HBO Max, and I assume Paramount Plus soon, I find it much easier if you're going to be a streaming service to have highly specialized content now, where it's like, okay, if I wanted, like Disney, I have to go to pretty animated movies and MCU and Star Wars. HBO Max has a lot of DC stuff, it has a lot of the Godzilla films and stuff like that. And then Paramount will, same thing with, you know, like Rugrats. And I mean, if you have kids, Rugrats, SpongeBob, and out of that, and then Ninja Turtles will be a big part of that. So yeah, it's like, but Netflix, like I go on Netflix every day, especially the last few days, again, still not working. And I'm like, I don't know what I want to watch on Netflix. And there's really no, oh man, Netflix has X, Y, and Z. I can just marathon this or something like that. It doesn't really do big franchises anymore because everybody else is kind of separating out and taking their own content elsewhere.
Yep. So it's like you have to kind of go with their original stuff, and
that's such a hit and miss proposition.
Yep. 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 Although I am looking forward to, which is probably going to be, hoping it's not terrible, but there's a likelihood that it is terrible, the new Zack Snyder zombie movie that they just dropped the trailer for.
So, I will. I will say, personally speaking, I think Dawn of the Dead is probably his favorite movie that I've seen.
Agreed.
And I think that he would, and I think part of it is that he had a framework to work off of, but I also think just because, like, I mean, as far as the director goes, he has a visual eye. I think he has a knack for good action. I think his real big issue was that he was creating, for the past almost decade, he was creating characters based off of books that had a diehard fan base that may or may not always accepted what he was trying to do with them. Where this one, he doesn't really have that baggage. It's not based off of a Romero anything. It's an original concept, so he can have fun with that. And I do think I'm hoping that Netflix didn't give him like $200 million to make the zombie movie.
I'm just hoping it's fun. So
yeah, because I don't know if you what is that, the new Tom Holland movie with the Russo brothers. I think reviews are dropping for that, and those reviews are very mixed, let's say. I think right now it's like 37% on Rotten Tomato. And I feel like it's one of those things where, they have two of the highest grossing movies of all time. They have the highest grossing movie of all time. Nobody's going to say no to them. But I think a lot of directors really need somebody to be like, you know, as much as people dislike producers and executives, I do think you need those people to be like, you know what, maybe scale back just a tad or stay within your wheelhouse. And I think, I think Zack Snyder is one of those directors who, as much as people enjoy him, he's one of those people who also needs people at the start to be like, okay, what is the actual scope of this? This is what we want you to do, and not to tell him the fact afterwards that this isn't what we wanted.
Yeah. I think Cherry is going to be one of those Apple movies. I think it's going to show up on Apple TV at some point. That's the Tom Holland Russo brothers movie. So
yeah.
Jeff might have it right though. He canceled Disney Plus after The Mandalorian, and despite wanting to see WandaVision and I think he also said he wants to see Winter Soldier and Falcon, or is it Falcon and Winter Soldier? I'm not sure.
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
He wants to see that as well, despite not loving the MCU. But he's like, I'm just going to wait until The Mandalorian season 3 comes out. I'll resubscribe, watch it all, and then unsubscribe.
Yeah, and I think that there's enough content out there. Like, I think going into this year, I think Disney has a good strategy. I think Warner Brothers. I mean, depending on the quality, but even without the quality, I think, like, you know, the next 2 months, you have Tom and Jerry coming out tomorrow. I mean, I don't know what that's going to be like, but that's out tomorrow. Zack Snyder's Justice League is out in 2 or 3 weeks. Godzilla vs. King Kong is out 2 weeks after that. And Mortal Kombat's out 2 weeks after that. So it's like, okay, you know, we have these big blockbuster movies, bang, 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 over the next 2 months. So it makes it very hard for you to start and stop.
Yeah.
It's like, if nothing else, I would keep it for the next 2 months. Because if you have it for the next 2 months, you get all of these movies in addition to some of their exclusive TV shows. Netflix, I don't know what Netflix has. Like, Netflix has a bunch of stuff coming out, but I think they have so much stuff coming out that they don't do a great job of marketing it. And it's just, at this point, it's usually stuff people say, oh, this is good, I checked this out on a whim, you should watch it. Like, I...
Yeah.
Space Sweeper?
That was good.
Yeah, but I didn't know what that was. It was just a bunch of people I saw on Twitter mentioning it, and I'm like, oh, you know what? This looks interesting enough. And then
literally a show just about sweeping. I mean, that's interesting, yeah. Right?
In space.
Yeah, ironically enough, they space sweep for like maybe the first 20 minutes, and then it really does not happen again. I was a little disappointed because I actually thought the concept of it, not the concept of the movie, but like the space sweepers and like people were basically fighting over junk in space to clean up, but also to kind of bring in the haul and make cash was interesting. And it turned into a very different movie. Yeah.
It was more class warfare against a very Jeff Bezos type of type guy. But fun movie regardless. So I like HBO's Warner Brothers approach with their stuff, where that stuff is timed too, right? Like, so
yeah, so it's like, if It's not like you can stockpile. Like they, I mean, they pretty much do it that it's like one a month because Tom and Jerry comes now, and I think the Little Things Death leaves tomorrow or Saturday, and then Judas and the Black Messiah is also on there, and that overlaps a bit with Tom and Jerry, but like that will be gone before Godzilla and King Kong. So it's like if you wanted, like honestly, if you wanted to watch this stuff since Wonder Woman, you've had to keep a subscription. But I don't think The Little Things and then Judas and the Black Messiah, even though Judas and the Black Messiah has really great reviews, I know that those are the movies that you would get people to stick around for. Where I do think that, I don't even think you get people to stick around for Tom and Jerry, but I do think if you get Tom and Jerry now, you, because you still get Zack Snyder's Justice League, you still get Godzilla vs. King Kong, you still get Mortal Kombat. And I think two of those are good.
Yeah, and then you got the Matrix later in the year, I think. And
yeah, well, I mean, there's a gap. I think there will be a gap until Into the Heights, which is in June. I don't know what they have in May. But yes, you get Dune, you get Matrix. But the one thing that I do worry about with HBO Max, and I was looking at this the other day, is like HBO Max, its actual original content is still not that great. Well, that's not true. Like they have good stuff, but I feel like it's stuff that if you're already invested in HBO Max, it's like The Flight Attendant I thought was interesting. I watched Warrior. That was really good. Like they've added some Cinemax show that people haven't watched. I've like Banshee and I forget the other one. And then I think tomorrow we'll get a trailer for Titans, which I assume will come soon. But yeah, I don't like HBO Max outside of the big movies, which is still a huge get, doesn't really have an identity.
It's just where I go because I have an HBO subscription.
Yeah. Yeah, like Disney, it Disney has a very clear vision of what they are, for better or worse. I do think, I think Disney's grand vision holds them back because people forget how much access, I mean, the IPs and stuff they have access to now with Disney, the Fox merger, like you know, like. As far as I know, there's really not many places you can kind of get Alien or the Die Hard franchise, and they have access to stuff like that just sitting there. Avatar. I mean, that's Avatar is one that's
now a Disney property. Yeah.
Yeah, that just kind of sits there as well because they are very keen on making sure everything on Disney Plus is like PG and PG-13, and within their very family-friendly model of PG-13.
Do you guys remember that it was there when I first went to Disney World? I don't think it's there anymore. But Disney had like a like an after dark club area, like for restaurants and nightclubs at Disney World. I think it was called Paradise Island.
Isn't it the Peter Pan stuff?
It is like I mean everything in Disney is
branded.
Yeah, branded against their stuff.
Damn it, where's Jeff when you need him?
Yeah, so
like, he'd be like, well, in 1947,
yeah, he would have all the information. But that I think like they should do something like that for Disney Plus, like here's like Disney Plus After Dark or something like that, like. Where I can watch Predator and Aliens.
Well, they have it because that's what they're doing with. They're not doing it here because they still have Hulu, but that's what they're doing in other countries like Disney Star Plus, which is what they're putting out like that adult. And it's so weird to even say adult because some of this stuff isn't even like you know like I think Buffy's a show that's put up there, and it's like Buffy's like it's an adult show and that it's not a kid show. But it's not necessarily what it's not Game of Thrones.
Right.
And that's what I mean by with Disney's family friendly version of PG-13. Because there are stuff that fits in that mold of not R rated, but Disney still won't put it on the service. Because, Nick, I don't think the X Men film are on Disney Plus.
I don't believe so.
And they get stuff like Logan. But like the first few X-Men movies are fine, But I think they might be a bit more PG-13 than than the MCU.
Yeah, that's probably likely. Oh, well. Well, there's our streaming minute.
I don't even know how we got on this topic.
Stadia.
Stadia. Oh, right.
Well, Earl, we're glad that you're back. We hope you feel much better over the next week.
As do I. I'm in no hurry to go back to work, but actually, but I am okay with I'm okay with being over this. I will say that. I mean, I don't think anybody thought COVID was a party. But yeah, that thing will put you on your ass. And I was lucky enough to have a mild case of it. And it's been, I think it's actually been 2 weeks since they came down with symptoms, and still kind of not 100% over it. And just when I think I am, something sneaks up on me. So I'm hoping to put this ordeal behind me. And I think we've preached this enough. Like I was telling Chris at the start of this, I still really don't know how I got it. I'm not going anywhere or doing anything, not seeing people, but it happened. And you know, just you know, be double, you know, doubly careful. And and just in case you do get it, oddly enough, water is not the best thing to drink to hydrate you. I'm probably an idiot for not knowing that.
Juices.
I mean, the best thing, you want something like Pedialyte or like Gatorade, which has electrolytes, to replenish it. Especially when you're going through this, because your body tends to sweat out a lot of that stuff when you have a fever, which is one of the big symptoms of this. But yeah, even like the Pedialyte powder, I don't know how accurate it is. I mean, I'm assuming it is a bit self-fulfilling to advertise for itself, but it has a chart, and it's Pedialyte, it's sports drinks, soda, 100% apple juice, and then water. Because water has nothing in it, which makes sense. You still want to drink water, but water won't be the thing that you necessarily need to hydrate. I earned that the hard way. And water actually tastes really, really weird after drinking nonstop for 2 weeks. Yes.
Well, all right. Well, get something that's not water to drink, Earl. And we'll be back next week with something. I'm not sure what is going on. And I know that there's rumors that there's going to be a Microsoft showcase in the coming weeks.
Well, we know the Pokemon one for sure is tomorrow morning. So we have that.
Love some Pokemon news. Yeah, there's rumors about, I guess, some stuff there. We'll talk about that next week. Because we'll actually know what came out. Tony's going to continue his adult Minecrafting.
I'm doing it right now.
And hopefully, Earl, you'll feel better and can get back into
video game. Yes. What was I going to say? Because there are games coming out soonish. But I don't remember what. Well, Bravely Default is out tomorrow, right?
What was that?
Bravely Default 2.
Yes, it is.
I don't think any of us plays that, but that is out tomorrow.
I like the first one. I never finished it. And what I've read of this one is it's another one of those games, which isn't bad. Like, that's not a bad thing. It's just, I don't know if I need that right now. And
yeah.
It's a Square game, so it will go on sale at some point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I don't think any of us picked up the Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection, which very ended up being a decent enough game. I was surprised by the reviews, because I know a lot of people were not keen on it when the art style was revealed. So,
yeah, I'm interested to take a look at that. I don't know if I'll buy it or not, but I'm not the biggest Ghosts and Goblins fan.
No, like, oh, you, I mean, I've played it before, but the big thing has always been like, it's just one of those old school NES hard games. Yeah.
And then the next big game, I guess, after that is let's see, Crash 4 finally comes out.
Well, we have the ports of Crash 4. I might check it out. I imagine Tony and Walt are probably better. The Apex Legends Switch port.
I'm interested in taking a look at it. Tony can't because he doesn't have a Switch anymore. But
that's right. And who would play that game on Switch anyway?
I want to see how it runs.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm curious about as well.
Monster Hunter Rise at the end of next month.
Yes, and Balion Wonderland, which I had just grown impressions of. So, yeah.
Yeah.
March is a decent month for titles. I mean, I think Monster Hunter Rise is the big one, but I think is Avengers coming out on current new gen system. I don't know what you call them.
Yeah, it comes out on PS5 and then Series X. Tony Hawk also getting upgrades to PS5 and Series X. That's a paid upgrade of $10, I believe. So not great there. But
I mean, it kind of makes sense, but it's weird that we're almost 6 months into this generation, and there's still no real uniform way of like smart delivery, I guess, because like Final Fantasy VII R, for example, is a free upgrade from PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5, but you have to pay extra for the PlayStation 5 exclusive content, and the fact that some companies are charging you $10 for an upgrade fee, or that you still have to know which version you're picking up ahead of time, is weird.
This doesn't come out till April, but I believe a demo is out now. It's the new People Can Fly game. It's called Outriders. And I have heard it described as Borderlands meets Bulletstorm meets Gears meets Destiny.
That's a meeting, but I am intrigued.
Yeah, like, I mean, if it's third person, so I think that's where they get the gear side. There's some cover based shooting in it. But if they can pull that off, and people seem to be liking it, if they can pull that off, that could be a fun game to play. So I might give that a go. There's a demo out there on Series X, PS5, PS4, Xbox One. And Windows, I believe. So,
okay,
might try that. But yeah, we'll have something to talk about next week. Earl, say goodnight.
Good night.